Back with you on our podcast today, Becky Taylor joins us from the city of Stillwater. And for those of you who do not know her official title, there are two people in this position. One kind of looks at stuff inside the city. The other looks outside. Chief Innovation Officer, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And are you Miss Inside or Miss Outside?
Outside.
Okay. And that basically encompasses what area?
I mean, we do a lot of community projects. So a lot of the projects that I've worked on are just making those, bridging those partnerships between nonprofits and community groups and seeing what projects we can move forward.
And if you just joined us on these podcasts for the first time ever, first of all, you can listen to all the old ones if you want to, or any of them. Becky's been on before. But she used to run Our Daily Bread. If you are familiar with the name, you think, well, 2 years ago, I knew her from doing something else. That's it.
That's it. Yep. And really, and before that, I was with OSU, and I coordinated a grant through TSET. But Our Daily Bread really just, I think, prepared me. I mean, I didn't get the local government experience, which I'm learning a lot in the last year
that's
and a half.
That's on-the-job training.
Yeah, say. But yeah. Definitely just how to really mobilize a community, how to get partners involved on a common issue. So a lot of those same skill sets, bring in.
Because Brady Moore is the other half of the equation, and Brady does things internally. He looks inside city government and different thing. We've talked with him before on this program as to how to, how things work and how maybe they should work if they're not. And maybe they work pretty good, but we can improve them. And then maybe some new things we need to work with internally with the city.
Exactly.
And so that's what these two folks do, and they've done it very well now, going on a couple of years, as a matter of fact. You guys kind of came in during the middle of all the a couple of years ago.
We did.
And really stepped in, and I think you've done a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's a big learning curve, and, just learning about local government is a big learning curve, but then also these were brand new positions, so everyone kind of figuring out what we do. But it's such a great team at the city, and I've learned a lot. Always impressed with all of the different aspects of city government. I mean, not only are we just, you have waste management, you have water utilities, you have police, fire. I mean, just such a different, all these different departments rolled into one. So I'm just continually impressed by the team that we have there. So they've welcomed us on the team and seeing what we can do to help make a difference.
And not only that, but being Miss Outside, then you have to, as I'll call her, you also have to be involved with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll kind of work with Our Daily Bread, but in its own little function, meeting people and dealing with the public. This is a lot broader scope because everything inside those dotted lines you guys work with
potentially. And I mean, that's you're exactly right. And everyone has their perception of the city, whether it's good or bad or ambivalent. And I think going out in the community and just letting them see a familiar face that represents the city. I mean, and so many of our city directors, department directors are out in the community as well. But specifically my role with helping bridge those partnerships, I think it's been a real valuable thing for our city. I mean, a recent example, we've discussed this a lot on this podcast, are the recent time projects. I mean, we've had two very successful ballot initiatives, and I really think it's because the community is sensing that, and they see, there's ready for change and ready to see things happen. So,
yeah, and improvement and all the words you want to put in there. Something else Becky does, and Brady does this internally, but you do it externally to the community. The word liaison comes to mind. There's a nice little $8 word for you. Liaison comes to mind because you are kind of the concierge, which is a $10 word that means the same thing. But that's what you do in part because you have to work around and with all these other groups.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that is a lot of when we have people call, what about this idea and this idea and or see me out in the community.
Well, why haven't you done this?
Why haven't you done this? I'm like, right. I don't know.
We pass you along to somebody who can answer
a lot of it is really just, well, let me learn and let me look into it and let me research. And that's how I've learned so much really in the last year and a half.
Or in the back of my mind, the term is give me a minute and I'll see if I can find the answer or find somebody who knows the answer.
Exactly. Right. I mean, because I guarantee you 99% of the questions I've received, I do not know the answer. And
how many
I
do you pass to Brady?
Does he get his share
maybe? Sometimes they're probably asking you stuff that he probably could
sure,
answer.
Yeah. And we're a good team there too. So we work well together with the different projects that we have. So
very good. Yeah. Now, I want to update folks on some things. You have some stuff you want to talk about. I got one. I have one. I talk like an Okie, but I have one. I done got one, okay? And this is the COVID relief update in terms of the latest round of monies and things, because earlier this year, the city had looked into getting this next round out or getting a project format set up to allow for that. Where are we on that?
That's a great question. So it's good to clarify some of those concerns. So a little background on how we got to where we're at today. Well, one, there was COVID, a pandemic, and the city looking at ways of how can we help alleviate some of the economic fallout that a lot of our families in the community have experienced. And, you know, at the beginning of COVID, I was still at Our Daily Bread, so I've firsthand understand the huge impact that COVID had just on families who are already living on the margin there in terms of financial stability. So when I started with the city in November of 2020, one of the first projects that was handed to me was, let's figure out a way of providing assistance, utility rental assistance, to families in need, with some of the CARES funding that came through. How can we do that? So, having firsthand experience with Our Daily Bread, they were the perfect partner, and really this is the way that they're set up, a perfect partner to administer any sort of grant program that had to do with utility rental assistance. So,
and kudos to your replacement down there, by the way.
Oh, Rachel Conley is exceptional.
Who has done,
yes,
she's yeoman's work on a lot of it.
She's an incredible. I couldn't speak higher. She's wonderful.
So we've had a couple of rounds of this, right?
So we've had two rounds. So the first round was $150,000 using the CARES funding. And that was kind of just to see, and that was our program. We were able to make the rules and you know, within what we're allowed to do as a municipality. And we wanted to do that in practice for the grant funding that we knew would be available through the CDBG program. So a state program using federal funds. And so we applied for that, received $460,000. With that came additional guidelines and steps and paperwork as expected, because it was no longer a program that we were able to make the rules for. So there was an income guideline or income level that was placed on it, and a few other steps. Our Daily Bread again stepped up to the plate. We asked other nonprofits if they wanted to help, and all of them agreed on Our Daily Bread was just the best suited for administering this program. So we used those funds, maybe in 5 months. I mean, it was faster than what we anticipated.
Yeah,
a lot of people
took
$500,000.
Right.
Yeah, and we're able to help a lot of people. Well, we thought that it was done, but we got word that there was additional funding through the CDBG program, so we applied yet again for that. Received $260,000. I'd have to check. It's been a little
somewhere
bit.
Around
I think
half,
that's
a
what
more
it was.
Of what you got the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we got that third round. The trick is, though, not really the trick, but we have that funding. But Our Daily Bread needs to be at a place where they can administer. I mean, we just kind of funnel the city's involved, but really Our Daily Bread's doing the bulk work and meeting with applicants and getting everything completed. And with some projects that they have right now and staffing, they knew that the best time that they could do that was in the fall. So the program, phase three of this program, will begin in the fall. Okay. Not any earlier. We just don't have the capacity to do it any earlier.
Because they have their own things they're doing. And
exactly.
You have to have someone like this to be able to administer, pass through, whatever term you want to use, because that's one of the hoops.
Exactly.
Here's the money. We'll give it to you. But here are our rules, right, that you have to jump through to be able to have this going. So September.
We're hoping August,
there?
September.
Okay.
Yep, and it's, you know, 250,000. Don't quote me on that, but it's right around that number. So we anticipate probably by the end of the year those funds will be gone. But I'm just so proud of the city team, Our Daily Bread team, of looking for this funding, getting the funding, Our Daily Bread being willing to administer this program. It's a lot of work on top of already, you know, a lot of work that they do.
And it's not as if they have a giant staff.
No. I mean, the staff is growing, which is great, but they brought in someone specifically for this grant program. So it's a great program. I hope it helps our community.
Which, again, your monies and donations help out their projects and services as well.
Free plug.
So there you go. And you can go online, and they have social media and things. You can find out more about Our Daily Bread, just what they do on an everyday basis.
It's a pretty exceptional place, if I may say so myself.
Well, and you helped to get it that way. So you can brag a little bit. That's not, as you say, it ain't bragging if you can do it or if it's real. So it's the truth. So that's the latest on that. Now, the city recently did its own employee survey. And since I don't work for the city, believe it or not, there are people like, well, you do all these podcasts and you do all these things for the city. You're an employee. No. Trust me, I've never had a W-2 from the city of Stillwater, okay?
Well, there are openings if
maybe
anyone
someday,
is interested
but
in applying.
I'm not there yet. They still okay, need me good. Out here. But anyway, so I've not seen the survey, but there was one made and given, and now you have the results back on that.
We do.
Take us through that.
Yeah, and I was really proud of the city for going through this process as well. So back up a little bit, Vibrant Community Partners is an organization with Quint Studer and a community group brought in Quint a few years ago before the pandemic. And then Vibrant Stillwater is a result of that relationship. So we have the community group.
We did a
group.
Show on them one day here,
oh, good.
By the way.
Yeah.
It's been
so there's,
2 or 3 years ago. Yeah.
So you go and listen to that to get some history on Vibrant Stillwater. So we knew that we simultaneously wanted to also, as the city of Stillwater, have a partnership with Vibrant Community Partners because we want to walk in lockstep with Vibrant Stillwater. We want to make sure that we are ready as a municipality to do what's needed to see the outcomes that Vibrant Stillwater wants to see. And so we've also partnered with Vibrant Community Partners, have our own contract. We work with a coach as well. Brady and I do this project together, and we meet with our coach weekly. But
can you imagine
one
being triple teamed by this bunch? Just saying. I've got to think it's a dynamic setup when you see this.
It's a good team.
It's a pretty good outfit. Now, so you did the survey. It took a little while to do
so
it,
so part
right?
of that was yeah. we wanted some baseline data. How do our employees see what's
what
going on? What
yeah.
do they think? Let's
yeah.
hear from them first so that we know where we want to go. And so we partnered with Beyond Feedback. They were a third-party neutral survey company. This is what they do. They work with municipalities. They work with other organizations to do surveys. So they're the pros in this field. So we worked with them. They developed this employee survey. We released it in January. It was out for 2 weeks. We had about an 85% response rate, which was a really great response rate with our employees. And since then, we've been kind of releasing the data. So we had organizational-wide data that we shared with the department directors, and then with every employee received that as well. And then the next step was we had data that was by department as well. And like we mentioned earlier, there's a wide range of departments mm-hmm. within the city of Stillwater that do wide range work, from engineers to IT to finance to police and fire. And so Brady and I, Norman and Melissa, our city managers, split us up in terms of which departments we get to work with. And so we've been working with the departments to roll out these department level reports. Just to see, like, this is what you've said about your department, the good, the ugly, all in between, and how can we look at this data?
And they have a right to know. And they have a right to know what it looked like, right?
Of course. I mean, we as a municipality exist because of our employees. I mean, we can't do our work without our employees. They're our biggest asset.
Imagine a city on a staff of six. It wouldn't work.
It would not work.
It just would not work.
No. And so we wanted to – so right now we're walking through these department brainstorming sessions where we look at this data, we look at our reports, and then make action plans of how can we move forward and become even a better city. And then we're doing that at the citywide level and department-wide level. It's just such an important process so that when we make these key changes that move us forward as a city, and when we do this survey again in 18 months to 24 months, that's what's recommended – we can see some key changes, and that's just helpful for any organization to move forward and become better.
And it wouldn't matter if the employees worked here 5 months or 30 years or anything in between, because we have employees that have worked here longer than that and people who have just gotten hired. But all the opinions are valuable.
Very valuable. And we know that it's just a trend in this country right now where we need to recruit good employees. I mean, we have a lot of openings, a lot of vacancies, but we also want to retain the employees that we have. And
it's part of that too, right?
Oh,
because
definitely.
That's a big factor.
Definitely. Yeah. We have a wealth of knowledge of employees that have a long tenure at the city, and we want to make sure that we keep those quality employees. The start of doing that is taking an honest look at what it is that we're working with here. And so this employee survey was the first step at that. So the hospital went through this process with Quint Studer a few years back, and they've seen such incredible results from this process. And so we're looking forward to it.
And it'll be interesting to see when this is all done what this looks like. Now, obviously, as a member of the media, I could get this information. That wouldn't be hard to do. But will the general public be able to see this down the road, say, on the website?
Oh, the results?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't see why not. We shared real...
It's collected information, right?
Just collected information. Yeah. We shared real high-level results with council, but it was real high-level. It wasn't...
And if you dig hard enough, really you can find into. That online now, by the way.
You can. But, yeah. And we'll, as we walk through this process, we can make more and more available. None of it's really a surprise necessarily. So.
And good, bad, and indifferent. I think the general public is going to want to know that information. And so as a public servant, I throw that out there to Becky to give her an idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Thank you.
Now, the next thing, and you probably heard about this over the weekend, we reported on it. The news press had information on it. The people who have been around this had information out on it. There is it's been in a couple of different forms. The northeast corner of 6th and Western, okay? Over the course of the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, it's the house that was there, gone, the land donated to the city. They put up some markers. They got damaged, stolen, taken away, whatever. Now there's new stuff up there that I think looks better than what we had. But there's even a better project coming to that corner, and it will fit in with what's getting ready to happen from that corner east for the next 2 miles, about 3 to 5 years from now, and that's the widening of Highway 51. So it's called the 6th and Western Art Project, the unofficial name, but I'll let you take
good,
it.
That's a good unofficial
name. I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, we're excited about this project. You know, this is an example of some of the favorite projects that I have with the city is where a resident this was her idea. She drives by this corner every day, and she, it's funny. She said, "I'm being welcomed into Stillwater 2 miles into where I should be welcomed into Stillwater."
Although to credit the lady who put the sign up out at the city limits, there is something in the median, but it is not anything like we have. As she said,
exactly.
2 miles down the road, two and a half
exactly.
In this case, down the road.
Well, and we just wanted to see this was a complete citizen-driven project where we had a group of citizens that, wanted to see something different in that corner.
How can we make it better?
Yeah. I worked with them. We created this search committee. We released an art RFP through the Arts and Humanities Council. I worked with Vicki Berry, who has such a wealth of knowledge with releasing these art RFPs.
And you had a bunch of replies, right?
Oh, we had so many. I think we had almost 20 replies, and they were so varied in mm-hmm. terms of the art that they presented. I mean, just so varied, which was great. And we had a search committee, selection committee that was very diverse as well, with age, with background. So we didn't want just a certain type of person to choose a certain type of art. We really wanted it to be a fair process. We narrowed those down from those 20 to the top three. We had a community-wide survey that was released, and it was also at the library that people could vote on their favorites. And then the clear winner through that whole process was from a local artist, so Morgan Robinson. It's pretty exciting that we have a local person that got that project. And the sculpture is called Interlaced. It's beautiful. If you haven't seen it yet, it's not yet in creation. It's just the image of it
the concept that is out there. You can view that in a number of different places. So this is not small either.
No,
this is
it's
not
big.
This is not like a sign. Okay, this is not something that you just post up and there it is. And isn't that nice? And you drive right by it. This is going to be something. And again, this will be down the road. How are we going to get people to be able to park there and look at this? But that's mm-hmm. another issue for another day. You're going to want to stop and look at this thing once it's in.
Yeah, it's going to be
because it
beautiful.
Is unique. We
it's
don't have anything
unique.
Like this in town, really.
We don't. And, and one of the announcements that came out this weekend that you're referring to is that the art project has been fully funded. And just to make it really clear, it was all funded through private donations through the Arts and Humanities Council. So the city didn't purchase this
right.
this sculpture.
If anything, in-kind stuff to put it in, maybe.
And some work for the corner, but
right.
we'd have that, we'd have to do anyway with the widening of the road. So,
which is the other part of this, because it will be set back farther,
it will
well
be.
Farther from what is there now. That's a bigger lot than you might think it is. You really, all you see is the crown from the road. You don't see how far back where this house used to be. There's a backyard, okay?
It's a big lot.
And it's a big lot. And in that back end of that big lot, which eventually the road's going to almost come right up to it, is where this is going to be.
Yeah. So
very visible, very viewable.
Very visible. Yeah. It's very large. It'll still say Welcome to Stillwater, and that was a request from the patents
that's
to make sure
bottom,
that we had
right?
that. Mm-hmm. So along the bottom, it's going to be beautiful with some lighting, and that we can change the lights based on what's going on in our community. But with ODOT's project, that will be in a few years down the road, we have what it'll look like, at least with the widening of the road. And so we're making sure that we place the sculpture in a place where once the construction happens for the road, we're not interfering with this art project.
It's up and out of the way.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. And then when it's all married in 5 years or six, whatever it may be, that's going to really look nice. But it'll be an attraction even before that. Now, mm-hmm. how soon does it go in?
We're hopeful by the end of this year. And that may be optimistic, but that's okay. So we're hopeful for November, December. If not then early 2023. But Morgan's working on the sculpture as we speak. And we meet about monthly as a team just to get updates on where we're at, to make sure that the city side, those projects to get the corner ready is happening at the same time as this sculpture.
Now, is this something that gets built on site? Is it something that gets built off site and gets moved?
He's building it off site, and then we'll have a big moving day.
Okay. And it will be a big moving day, too, because this thing will not be light.
No, it's a large...
It's going to have a foundation and everything built for it so it doesn't sink, for starters. And then so it, as they say, it, you know, fell over and then sank into the swamp. But the third one stayed up. We don't want to get to the third one. We want to do it right.
We don't.
That's an old Monty Python line. But anyway, from Holy Grail. But remember in the castle? But anyway. And so we'll get that thing put in, and it's going to really look nice. And you get the lighting and all the other stuff done. I have a repurposed project for you for the other signage that's up there.
Uh-huh.
You got three other entryways into town.
Go ahead and move it.
Go ahead and move some of that stuff to other locations.
Yeah, we definitely won't get rid of it. I mean, we want to make... I mean, and this is
the
part...
I like the flowers. I think they look really nice.
Oh, the flowers are pretty. Yeah. And I mean, they've done a good job with that corner, making it look nice. I think it looks very nice right now.
Well, they had to build it, and then they had to rebuild it, and now we're going to rebuild it again. But it was something that... Really, I think the community will take a look at this. If you haven't learned about it, there's information out there where you can find out about it. And it's called again?
We call it the 6th and Western Gateway Project.
But the project itself has
interlaced.
Interlaced. And when you look at it, you'll understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like tying a shoe. It's like tying things together. And it really will take on, a spot of its own. It'll be something that's permanent.
It will be.
It'll be something that people in the city can appreciate and will. And maybe by this time next year, it's all nice and pretty, and it doesn't look like it's ever been put in recently, and everything else is taken
exactly.
care of. And then they can worry about the road. Now, how come it sets so far back? Well, if you see the plans for 6th and Western, you'll know why. Because the three houses that are to the east of this location are going to go away. They have for sale signs on them for a reason. They're to be torn down. Unfortunately, but that's the widening of the intersection.
Exactly,
so
and so
can't
it,
get around it.
It
so.
May not make sense for a few years, but it's with the larger. It's we're looking through the future with
right.
where we're doing the sculpture.
I'll bet your office gets calls on Perkins Road.
Oh yes, I mean no one's happy with Perkins Road. I mean we're happy. You know we say that the two
right.
biggest complaints is one with our bad roads, and the second is roadworks.
Is that road is fixing those
yeah.
roads?
So it's a hassle. I mean I take Luke, my youngest, to Skyline. He's in fifth grade there, and we live across town. So I avoid Perkins every single day, just like everyone else. So yeah, there's lots of work. Don, our communications director, does a great job of updating our website weekly with information
top
on
of the
that.
Page. Yep.
Yeah, it's right there on the top. Monty's our engineer director. He's working with ODOT. So we're doing our best to minimize the hassle, but it just is what it is.
I got a Monty Kern story. I got a call the other day, not from him, but from his office. Bill just want to let you know the bridge east of your house is coming down later this summer. And I already knew that because I saw the city council meeting last Monday night a week ago, and I went, just give me the date. That's all I care about. And so I have a date. It's tentative. I'm not going to announce it yet until you guys do because I don't want to spoil your thunder. But I'll be looking for yet an alternate route to come out to work in the near future, because that's one of two bridge projects. The other's on Husband up by the high school that are going to be basically roll-off projects. They basically tear down the old stuff, widen out the street, not at Husband, but at the other one, and then roll a bridge in and put it in and boom, 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 and connect everything up, and they're done. I said, you've got to August 15th. They just laughed at me. I said August 15th of this year. You didn't understand what I...
Yeah, not.
But those projects are coming, and there are updates on the website.
There are
to all of these projects.
There are,
and if you want to find out about new stuff coming to town, there's going to be a big announcement soon up here where World Color Press used to be. Mm-hmm. That's coming before the month's over. If everybody comes together on that deal, there are different commercial projects and things on campus that mm-hmm. involve like fraternity and sorority houses and businesses and commercial projects like residential development mm-hmm. and things of that nature. All of that, and they do a better job updating than they have been those projects. It'll also show you things that are done. You might not ever go to the west side of town and not know there was a certain thing built out there recently.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And a lot of stuff involves zoning changes, but some of it does not. And that's why you don't see it at planning commission or city commission meetings or city council meetings, because unless there's a zoning change, it won't be necessary to do that, or there's some kind of a variance mm-hmm. or something of that nature. Another misunderstood thing. Thought I'd throw that out there for the benefit. But the website's a great place to find out information about things in general about the city.
It is. Follow the city on social media or the website. Like I said, Dawn and her whole team, they do an exceptional job of updating all of that information and getting it out there. And if there's something that you want to see that you haven't found information, just give us a call or email, and we can help find it or fix that mistake and add it to where it needs to be. But there are so many exciting things happening right now in the city with projects like you were mentioning and different businesses. And I think we're going to see a lot of cool things. But in the meantime is the construction phase. So right. I think we just all have to buckle up.
I think the saddest thing I've seen people not happy about, but again, it's progress, is the mural at Chuck's coming down.
Mm.
Now, I'm told that someone took pictures of that, like in sections, and I am also told that they're going to try to find a building somewhere in town that's not going to be torn down in the coming years to maybe recreate that
mural. That's a great idea.
So, and again, it just takes a lot of blue and purple and white paint,
mm-hmm.
but it takes somebody with a lot more, you know, chutzpah than I've got. I have two black thumbs. I can't even grow my wife's roses, mm-hmm. although they grow on their own. But anyway, to maybe recreate that something.
That would be really neat.
That would be really cool. And yeah. there's lots of pictures, of it out there. But people have asked, what's going on that corner? Well, they're taking the old building, which was funny to see the doors and windows and everything out of it, but the frame's still up. That was kind of interesting. They take that building, Chuck's building, and New China, and that's going to be where the new 7-Eleven's going in.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And we're not the only community getting improvements. If you drive around to Guthrie in particular, and if you drive to Ponca, and if you go over to Perry, they're building all kinds of stuff over there. And Cushing's getting their main highway through town rebuilt, so they've got a few issues right now. But they have some things that are coming in, too. So not only Payne County, but I think if you take about a 30-mile circle around Stillwater, and there are Dollar General stores going in, like in a town like Glencoe, of all places, and things like that, not that that's bad, but everybody's getting their piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are kind of getting back, and maybe in mm-hmm. some cases better than they were before the pandemic, and I think that's good.
Yeah, I like to hope so as well. And we are seeing progress, and even with the increase of the half-cent sales tax, which goes into effect in July, but we voted on it, voters voted on it in February.
And all that's dedicated to roads.
All to roads, but you'll start seeing more and more projects, and that's what we wanted, and that's what our voters wanted, so we're doing what we can.
You know, we tried going pay-as-you-go, and that really doesn't work. But if you have enough sales tax money, at least you can get projects started and then kind of build things up. And we've seen the voters approve this not once, not twice, but now a third time with an additional half cent to be able to get that done. Because as I have said before on this program and elsewhere, we have a lot of people that use our town, let's say school's in session, okay, and at OSU. And we have a lot of people that use our town on a daily basis that don't necessarily live here. That's in quotes, okay? I would say that on a normal day, this includes people who come into town to go to school, people who come into town to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be in that boat until I moved in the city limits, and others, that we have 75 to 80,000 people a day use our town.
Oh, I agree.
We don't have that many live here. It's 50, 55, whatever. Students, it's probably a little more than that. I'm sure it is. But and then you throw a game day, a Special Olympics, a graduation. We have a lot of these days like this throughout the year. And so we have to keep our infrastructure up to date.
We do.
Roads are a big part of that.
That's a huge part of it. You're right.
Yeah. So, again, if you want to contact Becky or anyone at City Hall, there's a main number. But specifically, where?
My office number is 742-8260.
She can't remember.
I know. But if you do call the city, they can point you to my office.
I want Becky Taylor's office now.
Just and ask, get you and you'll find me. And my email, becky.taylor@stillwater.org.
Very good.
We like hearing from you. And we just appreciate all the love that you show the city with having us on the radio so often. So thanks for that.
Well, we appreciate that. And like I said, I used to do a morning show here. And when that went away 5 years ago, it was like, how can we still have guests and get them around to the other people here in the building and talk about certain things, get that out there? Well, somebody brought up the idea of a podcast, and it wasn't me. And so we have this website, and so why not utilize that? And so that's what we do. And hopefully we get the information out there that you need. And get that done for the folks. And if anybody has topics or any ideas or anything, and not just with folks with the city, but elsewhere, let us know here at the radio station. We'll be happy to get those folks on. Becky, as always, thank you for the visit.
Thank you. Have a great day. Stay warm or cool.
And dry.